Let's open up the book of John. We are actually three quarters of the book. We only have a quarter of the book left. Have you been here from the very beginning? Chapter 1? I hope that faith in Jesus Christ has been strengthened as we receive from his word every week. Shall we pray? Lord, we are in your word again. We want to be rooted in your truth. But we want to be effective. We want to be just like you. And that's why we open up your word again. Because your word is powerful to transform. Your word is powerful to change. Lord, your word feeds us and nourishes us and prepares us for your return. Lord, your word trains us to walk in your ways. So again, by your spirit, may we receive your word and may we believe it, may we live it. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15, Jesus says the seventh I am statement, I am the true vine. Let's try to go over them from the very beginning. Jesus said that I am the bread of life. John chapter 6 verse 35. He said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8 verse 12. He said, I am the door. John chapter 10 verse 9. He said, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10 verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 verse 25. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 14 verse 6. And today he says, I am the true vine. And this is really God's revelation to us. This is who Jesus is to each one of us. May he be our satisfaction. May he shine his light ahead of us. May he allow us into heaven as we believe in him. May he guide us in his goodness as a shepherd. May he continue giving us life. And we obviously wait for eternal life, life after this life. He is the way. He takes us to heaven. He is the road to heaven, the truth about everything. He is the source of life, the giver of life. And for the seventh time, he said, here, explaining himself to us, I am the true vine. Let's read together. First 11 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In the first three verses there, Jesus uses this analogy of a tree, a fruit tree. A vine produces vines, just like mangoes. Mango trees produce mangoes. And they probably are walking, maybe looking down, and looking around Jerusalem, and looking at all these vineyards, these plantations of vines. Maybe they were seeing the fruitful ones and the fruitless ones. We know in another passage, in another gospel, that they're walking through the fig trees, and there was one particular one, they were hungry, they wanted to eat, there was one particular one that did not have any fig fruits. And he cast it and it dried. Because it was fruitless. And as looking down these gardens of vines, he says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the one who takes care or the vines, the vine dresser. He said that he is this true, real, fruitful tree that bears fruit. And his Father takes care of him. He's the vine dresser. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Jesus, the vine, he has branches. That's you and I. And he said, there are those branches that actually bear fruit. And he wants to make them fruitful. And he wants to make them not just fruitful, more fruitful. Now, if you're a farmer, you obviously know that you really long to harvest that which you've planted. And you never want to be really disappointed. When you plant a tree, you really want what you're expecting. You plant maize, you want quite a bit of maize. Jesus says, I am the main tree. I am the main stem, and you are the branches. And when I notice that you are actually being fruitful, I want you to be more fruitful. I want you to bear more fruit. And that's why I prune you. That's why I cut off certain branches so that more leaves can grow, more flowers can bloom, more fruits can come out. Now, sometimes we think that when God prunes us, he's disciplining us, he's beating us up, he's punishing us, he's not happy with us. For a fruitful branch, he actually wants it to be more fruitful. So he makes sure he takes away anything that hinders that fruitfulness. We're going to see more here. And he said, I have cleansed you. You're already clean. You are a healthy plant. All right? I have cleaned you with my word, which I have spoken to you. I have prepared you to be fruitful. Now, these men had first-hand training by Jesus Christ himself. He taught them every day. He walked with them every week. And now he tells them, look here, I am the main stem and you are the branches. And there's one thing I want you to do. There's one thing I expect you to do is to spread my influence. Fruit is really Christian character, Christ-likeness, and also a continuous lifestyle of productivity. So imagine he only has 12. They're down to 11. One is left. How on earth are these 11 men going to conquer the world? They were supposed to reproduce. So these 11 were supposed to preach, take the gospel out, the good news out. Whoever hears the good news and loves it and believes in it is responsible for carrying it on. And we know that it covered the whole world in just a few years. And that is our charge as Christians. When we go to Jesus Christ, he receives us as we are, each one of us. And what does he do? He cleanses us with his word. He teaches us. And that's why we stick to his truth. When we hear his word, he's really removing those parts that are not good for our body. They're not good for our life. They're not good for the kingdom. And then he tells us, I want you to bear more fruit. I want you to keep teaching my word. And whoever receives it should also keep teaching it. A branch obviously derives all its livelihood from the stem, from the main trunk. We derive everything from Jesus Christ. Now, he says true vine particularly because we can have quite a bit of false attachments. So as branches, we can be loosely attached to Jesus Christ, and in so doing, be attached to other things, especially this world. And Jesus wants us to attach ourselves to him so much that it's natural for us to be fruitful. And he's going to explain this as we go in. He said, you are already clean. I've given you my word. I've made you a healthy plant. You are healthy branches. And it's now time for you to go do which I've done to you. It's time for you to go and teach others the things that you've learned. And one thing that each one of us has to do is to take this which we learn and pass it on to others. I hope that you're not learning these things and just keeping it to yourself. Whatever opportunity you have, make sure you're getting to share with others this truth that we have and that we learn. The amount of the word of God that you've eaten makes you healthy and makes you just like himself and makes you reproductive. It is said that healthy plants reproduce. Healthy sheep reproduce. And all of us, under the good shepherd, under the bread of life, under the light of the world, under the door of heaven, under the way, the truth, and the life, under the resurrection and the life, have the opportunity and the privilege to be healthy. And with this health that we receive, cause others to be healthy in the truth. The word of God is that which has that cleansing effect in our lives. It condemns sin. It inspires each one of us to wake up and look forward to that which God has for us. It promotes growth and gives us power and victory over this world. And in verse 4, that's why it says, abide in me. You have to stay with me. Jesus is not telling these men to just go bear fruit without close attachment to him as the main trunk, as the main stem. He tells them, abide in me, stay with me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we have the way and the attachment instructed so we can bear fruit. Lord, all right, we want to bear fruit. We want to teach others. We want to continue spreading your gospel. We want to multiply. How should we do that? And Jesus says, just stay with me. Just stay in the truth that I'm giving to you. He said, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up and throw them in the fire and they are burned. He says, if you abide in me, if you stay with me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Fruit bearing, Christ-likeness, and continuous productivity in Christian living is completely impossible without staying with Jesus Christ, without living in his truth, without living in his word, without learning what he has to say. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus teaches using the parable of the soils. As a farmer goes, sow his seeds and four different types of places those seeds land, others on the wayside, the thorns, the rocky places, and in the fertile soil. And he explains to us in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23, and this is the meaning of the parable. When anyone hears my word and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. And this is he received the seed by the wayside. So there are Christians who, we explained here, receive the word but do not understand it. I hope you are understanding everything that we are learning this week. And if you don't, search and seek and try to understand. What is the Lord saying? Because if you don't understand what we are talking about here and the word of God, the enemy is going to steal it away. Even the little that you have is going to be stolen. And as if you're just, as I said here, One, that the seed lands by the roadside. As if you're the roadside. Somebody just comes and sweeps whatever you have away. The second category, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, excitement. Yet as he goes on, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. The second category are those Christians who receive the word. In the first week, they are on fire for the Lord. The first year, they are on fire for the Lord. But what happens in the second year, in the third year, in the fourth year? When difficult times come in, when persecution arises, because a person is a Christian, we call it backsliding. They stumble. We should be with Jesus Christ through thin and thick, through every weather, through rain and sunshine, through summer and winter, through joy and through pain. The third category, now he who received the seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now we're introduced to a category that is actually unfruitful. No fruit. They are Christians, yes, they believe in Jesus Christ, yes, but no fruit. No sign, no external proof that they belong to Jesus Christ. And that happens because they care more about this world and they are deceived by wealth. Do you care more about this world more than you care about the next world? Are you being deceived by riches? Are you being deceived by this crazy prosperity doctrine that is all around us? You are sure to be unfruitful if you give yourselves to such a lifestyle and such deception. No fruit. People will look at you and think, is this person a Christian or not? They live in debate about it because they see no Jesus in you. Then the fourth category, but he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I don't want to be the roadside. I don't want to be the thorn. I don't want to be the stone. I want to be good ground for the seed of the word of God to grow and bear fruit. On the extreme, there are those Christians who really want to bear fruit, but they do not want the word of God. Jesus explained that the word of God is that seed that he plants in us, that grows and matures and causes us to be fruitful and causes us to reproduce. What is your relationship with the word of God? How much time do you spend eating this bread of life? How much time do you spend just talking with Jesus Christ, just worshiping him, singing for him? How much time do you spend just thinking about God? Just meditating, just contemplating. We often fill our thoughts with a lot of stuff. This world tries to deceive us. The enemy tries to steal the word of God from us. But we have to choose every day to stay in the word. And sometimes the moment you commit yourself to stay in the word is when all these distractions happen. Your Bible reading time is when somebody calls and they need help. Your Bible reading time is when somebody offers you something more, less than the word of God. Your prayer time is when the phone rings and it's just a useless conversation. And we have to discipline ourselves to abide, to live, to dwell, to stay in the truth. And that's how we are going to be fruitful. These men are going to be fruitful because they are going to stay in the truth that they received. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, depending on the influence and opportunities that God gives us. The branches that are cast out are those that bear no fruit. You look at a tree, you look for the fruit, and it's time for the fruit to come out, it's not there. The Bible describes those Christians as carnal, right? One foot is in the world and one foot in church. They're trying to live double lives. Hypocrites, the Bible calls them. In Revelation, the Bible calls them lukewarm. They are neither cold nor hot. Now, this world has so many Christians, billions of Christians. The problem is not all the Christians are fruitful. Not all are committed to staying with the truth of Jesus Christ enough to be fruitful and for that seed to continue multiplying. I pray that each one of us here is committed to staying in the truth, and by so doing, influence this world with the truth of God, and that influence is going to multiply. We only have to stay with Jesus Christ to be fruitful. Is that too hard? Is he too hard to understand? No, he's not. In James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without fruit is dead. Faith without works that prove our faith is dead also. When when we profess Christianity, at one point it has to come out. It has to be seen. It has to be visible. Everybody around you has to see that fruit. And if we profess Christianity and there's no fruit, the Bible calls us dead, carnal, lukewarm, fruitless, dead. Who wants to be all that? That's not cool, to be fruitless and dead and carnal and lukewarm. What do you do with lukewarm stuff? You throw them out. God says, I vomit them out. The branches, it says, he cuts them and burns them up. They're useless. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told what this fruit is, all right? What this Christ-likeness is and what this reproductivity is. And before he tells us what the fruit is, he tells us what a kind of Christian looks like. What a Christian living this worldly lifestyle looks like. It's just given to all manner of sin. In Galatians 19. I don't even want to mention them. Adultery and fornication and sexual immorality and theft and deceitfulness and idolatry and all manner of wickedness, the Bible says. And the Bible says those will not be part of God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, is love. It all starts with love. Loving God and loving one another. And that topic recurs throughout the whole Bible. God's love for us and our response to love him and to love one another. The fruit, what proves that you belong to Jesus is that you're going to be loving. People are going to see that you are really a loving person. You're going to be full of joy, not just happiness and excitement that this world has, more than that. Joy is the innermost happiness regardless of the situation around us. Happiness, somebody can crack a joke and we laugh, right? Oh, we're happy. That is not joy. You may see something very amusing and be happy and excited. That's not joy. It's deeper than just happiness and excitement. It is buried in our hearts. It's deep in our hearts that regardless of the heat around, regardless of bad weather, regardless of tribulation, regardless of persecution, we are still happy. Fullness of happiness. You're going to be full of joy. You're going to be full of peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, promises us, each one of us, that peace. In this troubled world, we can be at rest and calm. And that is the fruit of staying with Him. That is the mango that people see. That's the orange that people see. That's the apple that people see. Long-suffering, patience. Are you patient? Remember 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. And patience is the ability to be inconvenienced and still remain calm. If you want to test anybody's patience, right? Just inconvenience them. Just show up late. Just disturb them. Just steal their phone and keep it for a day. Misplace their shoes. Are they going to remain calm and still at rest when extremely inconvenienced? Or they are going to, it's called a what? Temper tantrum. All of a sudden, they're waving their hands and up and down and throwing cups and plates and yelling stuff that you never want to hear. Are you patient? Are you kind? Love is kind. We are told again in 1 Corinthians 13. Do you express kindness to people? Helping somebody who is in need. Identifying with their pain. Comforting them. If it means crying with them, you cry with them. You're trying to understand everything they're going through. Maybe it's excitement. You get excited with them. Rejoice with the rejoicing and mourn with the mourning. Somebody's hungry, would you please buy them lunch? Somebody's in need, would you please help them? That's kindness. Goodness. When Jesus was called good teacher, you know what he told them? You say rightly so. There's only one who is good. He's God. And God, in his goodness, makes us good. Goodness is going to flow from attachment to Jesus Christ. Because he is good. We are naturally going to be like him if we live with him, if we stay with him, if we stay in his truth. Gentleness. Do you know some very rough people? I think Ugandans are generally moderate, gentle, but we can get really rough, all right? The way we drive, the way we walk, we can just bump into people. The way we ride our motorcycles, that is really rough and rude. And the opposite of that is gentle. Calmness. Are you calm? Or are you the opposite, aggressive? Right? In Uganda, there are people who are known for certain things. There are people who are generally known for being aggressive. All right? I don't want to mention them. We are called to be gentle. All right? Jesus was gentle, wasn't he? And that's why he makes us gentle. There are people who are quarrelsome. I knew of a lady. Before she was a Christian, she was extremely quarrelsome. Nobody wants to be around her. She got saved and she was probably even worse. The opposite of that is just being gentle in speech, gentle in lifestyle, gentle in the way you deal with people. How about self-control? The ability to set limits for yourself, all right? The opposite of self-control is self-indulgence. For example, food. We can give ourselves to food and then become gluttonous. We can give ourselves to TV and we become what? TVious? You can give yourself to anything and before long you are just like it. You give yourself to so much pork, you're going to look like a pig very soon. But self-control is the ability to know, okay, this is enough for me. All right? I was visiting a friend last Sunday and we're talking about health. And truth is, the older we are, the more self-control, even on physical matters, we should get. The more we should discipline ourselves to eat well, to exercise, to do the things that we know are healthy in physical living. And God required the Jews to do that. He gave them actually laws concerning what they should eat and how they should live and where they should not go and what they should not do, just to help them be healthy. Controlling your temper. This world can get very annoying, but can you still lower down your temper to moderate? Or are you just going to burst out? He says, against such there is no law. Now God is loving. God wants us to love. God is the source of joy, and He wants us to enjoy that joy. He's a Prince of Peace. He wants us to be peaceful. We should not be a source of conflict whatsoever. And we can as well be at peace and rest and calm, even amidst conflict. God is patient, so patient, and we have to reflect that patience. We have to show that patience. God is kind. And just like Him, He calls us to be kind. He's good. He wants us to be good. He's faithful. I'd skip that. When He says, I'll do it tomorrow, He does it tomorrow. When He says, I'm coming for you, He means He's coming for us. When He makes a promise, He fulfills it. Are you faithful to keep the promises you make? Are you faithful to your friends, to your partners, to your business, to your employers and employees? And that's the fruit that proves that we are followers of Jesus Christ. There is no fruit dead, carnal, and that means we are actually attached to something else, to a false vine, rather than the true vine, Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, he's talking about spiritual gifts and these abilities that God gives us. It says, for as many as we have members in one body, but all our members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And it says, having gifts differing according to the grace that God has given to us, let us use them. There are things that God has given you, each one of you, and you have to use them to reproduce. And He mentions them. If prophecy, that's encouragement, and God has given you a word of encouragement or a word concerning the future, you have to. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, serving, helping, get out and serve and help. Let us use it in ministering. It's to use that heart that wants to help others. He who teaches, do you have any teachers in this place? I know that so many of you are teachers. You're able to explain God's truth. We need so many teachers in Sunday school. If you are able to teach and you're not teaching yet, what are you doing? You want to be dead? You want to be stagnant and dead? God, pass on this wisdom to our children. He who exhorts or encourages. We all need to be encouraged every day. We can never have enough of encouragement. Don't hold back that encouragement that you have. Just give it out. He who gives with generosity. You have, God has blessed you. He's not given it to you so that you just waste it on yourself. He wants you to use it fruitfully for His kingdom. And you do that generously. He who leads with diligence. Any leaders in the house? All of us are leaders in some place. And you have to lead properly. And you have to be committed to lead. Diligence is, I am wholly given to it. I'll do it. He who shows mercy. Are there some merciful people here? You're just sensitive to other people's pain and you want to help all the time. Just keep doing it, the Bible says, with cheerfulness. So we already have every seed, every water, every soil, every good soil for us to bear fruit. And we just have to do that. We just have to give out that love and that joy and peace and long suffering and teaching and encouraging and whatever we have to give. And he says, the privilege that you enjoy is that you're going to ask for anything and I'll give it to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. What? Everything I desire? Yes. Because when you abide in Jesus Christ, you're not just going to desire for things that are useless. You're going to desire things that are going to help you be fruitful, isn't it? And that's all you're going to ask for. And God says, you're asking for something that you want to use to bear more fruit. You have it. You want money and you want to use it for the kingdom. You have it. You want what? Joy? You want to be a source of joy to other people? I'm going to fill you with my joy. Peace? You want wisdom? You want to be more kind? You want to be faithful? You have it. What a privilege. It is only for those who are fully committed to Jesus Christ. Those who abide in Jesus Christ have the privilege of asking anything and God says, I'll give it to you. Who doesn't want that? All of us want it. And so we should be encouraged to stay in the truth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We all want to glorify God. We all want to please Him. We all want to make Him happy. We all want to honor Him. Jesus says, if you want to glorify my Father, be fruitful. If you're a mango tree and you want to make the farmer happy, you get the mango out. Every Christian wants to glorify God. And that's why we're gathered here. And Jesus says, you're going to glorify me by being like me and showing the world all these things about me. We've seen them. That you bear my fruit so that you will be my disciples, my close followers, my learners. All of us, Jesus' learners and followers, disciples, are called to a fruit-bearing relationship with Him. If you ever wonder, God, what do you want me to do? How can I make you happy? How should I honor you? He says, go display all these things that you've seen in me to others. And by that, you will make me happy. If you keep my commandments, rather in verse 9 to 11, as the Father loved me, also I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you. Why? That you may have joy and that your joy shall remain. Jesus labors to explain these things to us so that we would have joy, innermost happiness, and not just for a season, not just for today, not just for tomorrow. He says, I want that joy to remain. That is one of the fruits we've seen. These things He has said to us that we may have peace. He told them, we saw that last week. These things is teaching them so that they may love. Now, it just seems like we're repeating ourselves. But that's what God does so that it sinks in. He says this over and over again. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, then abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandment. Then you are my disciples. Then you will be fruitful. Then you will have joy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Where does love come from? Pure heart. It comes from good conscience. Those who split right and wrong and act accordingly. And those who have sincere faith in Jesus Christ. We'll see this next week in John chapter 15, verse 16. Just a few verses down the road. He told them, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give it to you. These things I command you," in verse 18, "that you love one another." Jesus never gets tired of telling us the same thing over and over again. Go bear fruit. Go love one another, just as I've loved you. And we're going to see more. Somebody said, when we think about the joy of Jesus gives, we understand that it isn't the same as we think of happiness and excitement and any other thing. Think about the peace that Jesus gives. The world cannot understand it. Think about the goodness that Jesus gives. His goodness follows us every day, all our lives. Not just for us to enjoy, but for us to spread. What a privilege. His kindness, his patience, his long-suffering. His mercy, it's new every morning, and he wants us to spread it. His grace, his wisdom, his strength, his power, all are for us, not just to have, but to give. May we commit ourselves to abide in Jesus Christ, to stay with him. I plead with you, don't leave Jesus Christ. And a lot of people can give themselves to other things. A lot of people can attach themselves to very many false vines all around the world. But as these branches, let us attach ourselves in him. And for those who bear fruit and those who are fruitless, he desires that they bear fruit. For those who are bearing fruit, he's going to shape us so that we're going to be able to bear more fruit. And for those who are not bearing any fruit, Jesus is pleading with us still. I want you to be fruitful. I chose you and I appointed you for this very reason, that you may bear fruit, that you may be like me, and that likeness of me in you spreads to other people. Lord, thank you so much for laboring for so many times, for repeating yourself so that these things sink in our heads. Lord, thank you so much that you've chosen us, and you've appointed us to bear fruit, to be good just like you're good, to be merciful and peaceful and patient and gentle and self-controlled, faithful, and above all, loving. But thank you so much that we only have to stay with you. We only have to live with you. We only have to stick to your truth for these fruits to come out. Lord, when we bear fruit, you want us to even bear more fruit. And that fruit that continually grows. Lord, we want to say that we are committed to staying with you in your truth. We are committed as your branches to be attached to you, to be close to you, to be obedient to you. And it's very natural that in so doing, we will be honoring you, glorifying you, and pleasing to you. Lord, take our hearts and hands and feet and minds, and fill us with yourself. Fill us so much with yourself that not only will we be like you, but we will do those things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.